joining us now on the line. First time we've had John Feinstein on the show, so much looking forward to this. He is the best-selling author and Golf Channel contributor in his new book, Are You Kidding Me? The story of Rocco Mediate's extraordinary battle with Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open is out. John, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, and I've had a chance to read some of the excerpts in this month's Golf Digest U.S. Open preview, and this book, all 384 pages, seems to be what's going to become a bestseller, in my opinion. And
Ross, from your lips to God's ears.
Well, let me ask you this. What is this process been like? We know Rocco battled Tiger last summer at Torrey Pines. When did you start the book with Rocco? And it's co-written by him and you.
Right.
And what has this process been like over the last year?
Well, that's a good question because it was unique in my life. This is my 24th book, and it's the first one where the subject called me and said, you know, I'd like to do a book. I've had people approach me because Rocco was kind of inundated, as you might imagine, after the Open by agents and publishers and a couple writers saying you should do a book about this experience because it was so extraordinary and the whole country was watching and everyone fell in love with you. And he called me and said, I'd like to do it. I think I have a story to tell, but I'd like to do it with somebody I know. And I go back to 1993 with Rocco. I met him when I was researching A Good Walk Spoiled because, as you guys remember, that Lee Jansen won the U.S. Open at Baltusrol that year, and he was one of my main guys in that book. And, of course, Rocco and Lee went to college together down at Florida Southern and have been best friends ever since. So that's when I first knew Rocco. So I thought my first thought was, geez, if nothing else, this will be fun. I mean, how awful can it be to, you know, interview Rocco Mediate where you basically turn on the tape recorder and go, hi, you know, and he does the rest of the work for you, and to hang out with a guy who I've been friends with for 15 years. And so I agreed, and we really jumped in July and went at it very hard because we wanted to get it turned around in time for this year's U.S. Open, obviously. So it was, again, for me, different in that usually I like 12 to 18 months to research a book. But this was done in six, but I was helped by the fact that, A, I didn't have to develop trust with the main subject. I already had it. And by the fact that Rocco set me up with all of his friends and family so that I was able to get things done fairly quickly.
John, we're obviously a society of winners. We always like to, you know, hail the winner and all that kind of stuff. In this case, you know, the book is more about Rocco, and he didn't
right.
win this event. Is that a more compelling story in a weird way than you know, like Jack Fleck beating Ben Hogan in the U.S. Open in you know, 1955 or whenever it was?
Yeah, believe it or not, I wasn't around for that Open, although some people think I was. But I think it was a uniquely compelling story. It's interesting, Rocco growing up loved the movie Rocky and had a poster of Rocky on his wall. And, you know, the line is he was a million to one shot. And Rocco likes to say about the Open last year that he was a billion to one shot. And if you think about, again, I think that's part of the story here, what led up to the Open. And this was a guy who had major back surgery in 1994, was off the tour for most of 2 years, really never completely recovered from that surgery. As recently as 2006, you guys might remember that he was tied for the lead at the Masters on Sunday afternoon, and his back went on him again, hitting a shot off a side hill lie on number 9, and he almost had to crawl around the back 9, shot 42 on that back 9. So his body had betrayed him at key moments in his career, even though he'd had a very solid career. But he was 158th in the world going into last year's Open. He had to qualify to get into the Open, had to win a playoff in the qualifier to get into the Open. So for him to be standing there going head-to-head with Tiger Woods was remarkable. And what was perhaps most remarkable, all of us who've watched Tiger through the years know that when he gets the lead, it's over, right? But he had the lead Saturday night. Rocco came back and had the lead Sunday until Tiger made that birdie putt on 18. And then on Monday, Tiger had a 3-shot lead after 10 holes, and Rocco came back, birdied 13, 14, and 15, and again had the lead on the 18th tee, and I think was done in by, the, you know, ironically, by the USGA's decision to leave 18 as a par 5 because Tiger's 40 yards longer off the tee than he is on average. So it was a remarkable story, and your point about that we love winners, I was with Rocco a lot during the summer, and we would be in restaurants or out walking around on the golf course, wherever it was, and as he said, people would come up to him and act as if he'd won the tournament, because he'd played so well and handled himself so well. And frequently he had to say to people, yeah, I'm really proud of the way I played. Thanks very much. But, you know, the other guy did win.
And he also likes to say that people forget that Rocky actually lost that first fight, and then he came back to win.
The first fight, won the second. And you know, obviously Rocco's 46, and the chances that he'll get in his position again probably aren't great. But we probably would have said the same thing about Kenny Perry a few months ago. And there he was on the verge of winning the Masters. So Rocco, when he's healthy, when he's got the right mindset, can still play with anybody. The problem in the last few months, you know, people have said, well, he hasn't played that well this year. That's true. The problem has been that Cindy Hilfman, the woman who helped him with his back and who he's now involved with, has been fighting it. She's been in and out of the hospital almost on a nonstop basis for most of the last year, and that will affect anybody's play.
Absolutely. You're listening to Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, joined on the line by John Feinstein, best-selling author and Golf Channel contributor, and his new book is out, Are You Kidding Me? The Story of Rocco Mediate's Extraordinary Battle with Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open. And one thing that I thought came out clearly during the playoff last year, and it was kind of hit home by some of the excerpts from the book, reading about the relationship between Rocco and Tiger, John, and they are very good friends. Tiger has not that many good friends on tour, right. Mark O'Meara and John Cook, and Rocco is one of them.
Yeah, and really, again, that goes back to when Tiger first came out on tour. Rocco still remembers when he first came on tour as a 23-year-old kid just out of Florida Southern that older players like Tom Weisskopf and Curtis Strange and Raymond Floyd reached out to him to kind of help him and give him guidance and tell him what to do and what not to do. He tells a story about being in the locker room at the Memorial one day, and Weisskopf waves him over and says, look, kid, you can't go out wearing pants like that. No one wants to see a professional golfer looking the way you look. Here's a card. Call my tailor. He'll make pants for you, and you'll look like a professional. And Rocco did that. And when Tiger came out, I mean, you guys remember, there used to be what I like to call, there still is, a Tiger zone. And very few people penetrated that Tiger zone. Cook and O'Meara did. Obviously, Tiger's agents, his swing coach back then, Butch Harmon, now Hank Haney, his equipment rep, family members. That was pretty much it. The other players, many players, were either intimidated by him or jealous of him or both. Well, Rocco took the approach, look, no matter how good a player he is, he's still just a kid. He can still use someone in the locker room he can joke around with and tell jokes to and give a hard time to and be given a hard time by. And he did that. And Tiger has always remembered that about Rocco. And I think the scene that I describe in the book on the practice tee on Monday morning before the playoff really kind of sums that up. Rocco woke up that morning. He hadn't expected to be in San Diego for an extra day and only had one clean shirt left, and it was red. And you know Tiger in red shirts on Sundays. And he thought to himself, well, I can wear a red shirt, a dirty shirt, or no shirt. So he went with the red. And Tiger walks onto the range, walks over to say hello, puts his hand out, and says, nice blanking shirt. And Rocco looked at him and said, hey, it's not Sunday. You know, it's Monday. Did you lose track of the calendar? And I think that set the tone for the whole day, that these were two guys who were friends, who were playing for, obviously, a championship that was huge for each of them for different reasons. But as Rocco said, he wasn't going to let Tiger go into one of his trances for 18 holes and not talk, because Rocco is comfortable talking to whomever he's playing with. And he was going to do that, not to psych him out, just to be himself and play his own game. And you guys both know, so many players take one look at Tiger on the first tee and they're done. Rocco didn't let that happen.
John, last question for me. You know, Tiger had a similar battle with another journeyman in 2000, Bob May, at the PGA
right.
Championship. And that story doesn't seem to have resonated with the public like this one did. Is it because of Tiger's injury that we found out about or Rocco's likability? Why is this story so much more riveting, I guess, than the Bob May-Tiger battle?
Well, I think there are a couple reasons, because you're right about the Bob May-Tiger thing at the PGA. I mean, they both shot 66 that day. And then Tiger won in the playoff. I think some of it had to do, Rocco, Bob May's never won on the PGA Tour. And he's a nice guy, and I like him, but he certainly doesn't have Rocco's personality. And Rocco, I think, captivated everybody as much with his personality during that week as with his golf. Plus, he had the extra day. It wasn't just Sunday. It was Monday when, you know, literally people just stopped what they were doing to watch that playoff. There's a statistic that, this is before Wall Street collapsed, but volume on the New York stock exchange on Monday afternoon while the playoff was going on went down 10%, mostly because people were either watching on their computers or watching on TV. And I think that set Rocco apart from Bob May. Plus, 8 years later, Tiger's an even bigger star now than he was back in 2000. So that made it even more of a big deal.
The book is titled, Are You Kidding Me? The Story of Rocco Mediate's Extraordinary Battle with Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open. In the 108 years of the U.S. Open Golf Championship, there has never been one like this one. Last June at Torrey Pines, 158th ranked player in the world, a motor-mouthed 45-year-old whose career was on the backside of taking on the number one player in the world. And it's going to be a bestseller, like I said, John. And I'm really looking forward to reading it when we get the copies. And thank you so much for joining us. You can probably get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Borders, wherever fine books are sold. Thank you so much for the time. This was great. Look forward to talking to you more in the future.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot. Say hello to my pal Ken Kennerly when you see him down there.
Absolutely, will do. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
There he is, John Feinstein, a best-selling author and Golf Channel contributor. His new book is out, Are You Kidding Me? The Story of Rocco Mediate's Battle with Tiger, last year's U.S. Open. One.